Welcome to Bold Talk Business Radio on AM 1300 WMEL, the Talk to Me station. This is Donna Anselmo, and today's special segment is one in a five-part series on going global in your business. Today we have with us Beth Gitlin. Beth is the president and owner of a company called Global Passages, LLC, based in Melbourne, Florida, and she has been in retailing, manufacturing, importing, and exporting of consumer packaged goods for more than 18 years. Before she started her company, she was vice president of imports and product development for General Foam Plastics Corporation, which imported and exported Christmas trees, wreaths, outdoor lighting, swimming pools, pumps, and water gardening equipment. So Beth has been doing this for quite some time. In addition to that, she spent 9 years with Walmart in various merchandising and international positions responsible for trade with over 26 different countries. So today, we're going to talk with Beth a little bit about importing and exporting. And while we're talking about her international service, we should also tell you that she was a lieutenant in the U.S. Army Signal Corps. Beth, thanks for being here with us today.
Donna, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so pleased to be here to help you with your talk on global business.
Well, I think it's really important for people because, as we talked about last week when we did a segment with Tim Muth from Florida Institute of Technology, we talked about the fact that there are so many people in the local market, regional market, and the market across the country trying to figure out how to make business work in their areas, in their geographic locale, and yet there is a whole big world out there that represents so much more of the trade than we do here in the United States. So if we can get people to think about how they may be able to tap into that, I think we'd be performing a service, and I thank you for being here to share your insights on that. So if you could think a little bit about and talk to our listeners about what import-export business is really all about. I know it involves suppliers and sellers and connections and networks and government regulation and compliance and even the cultural influences on business transactions. So with that in mind, why don't you shed a little bit of light on the kinds of things that people need to think about if they are interested in importing product or exporting?
I think one of the first things you need to think about is people really think that it's products that you could import and export, but really nowadays it's products and services. So whether you do graphic design or marketing services or engineering services, that kind of thing, you can think about going global. And one of the things when I teach in classes in the area about importing and exporting is people don't realize that if they already have a website developed, they're already global because anybody in the world can really see the services and products they're offering.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when people are first starting out, I think you just have to think about the whole process in general and what are the things that would impact importing or exporting a product and service. And the biggest issue that people think about is they think it's such a complicated issue. And so one of the things I help them with is risk mitigation. You know, so I mean, the simple things are you have to find a supplier or vendor, or you have to find a market. That's the very first thing in another country. And then you have to think about, if it's a product, how you're going to move that product from one location to the next, you know, by using ocean freight forwarding or air freight forwarding. And then you have to think about regulatory compliance issues. And that's where it gets the most complicated, because you have to understand not only the regulations and laws in that are placed in your own country, but you also have to understand what's going on in the other country.
So let me stop you there for a second and ask about, how does somebody find that out? Okay, I want to do business. So let's say I have a marketing company, which we know I do, Bold Marketing Solutions. So if I want to do business with a company in France or in Britain, and I need to think about, well, you know, how do I do that? What legal things do I need to know? How can I avoid finding out that I've done something wrong and I'm being taxed or penalized in some way? So where do I start?
The very first place I would start, especially if you're thinking about exporting a service or product, would be with the Department of Commerce website. And they have a plethora, a huge amount of information on there about what you can do and what you can't do. And that would be the first place to really start and do your research.
So if I looked on their website, I would find some information. Can I call somebody anybody at the Department of Commerce? Do they have free consultations?
Yes, they do. And actually, they have export assistance centers, I think, in different regions of the United States. In fact, there's one right here in Orlando, Florida.
Yes, there's one, I believe, in Tampa. There's one in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Because when I started thinking about the series, I actually did a little bit of research, and I found that they were very friendly when I called.
Yes.
Yes. So if I now have called the Department of Commerce and I've got a little sense of information, what do you think is, number one, the most important problem I should try to avoid?
Well, you know, like with any small business, I think the two issues you really need to think about, especially if you have intellectual property issues regarding whether you have a product that's patented or a service, you know, trademarking and copyrighted, you really need to have someone with international legal experience, I think. It's worth paying the money and getting their advice on that. And then the other issue, especially if you're looking to whether you're wanting to set up something overseas, would be to talk to an accountant that has international accounting experience. Those would be the two areas that you would look at mitigating your risk, along with talking to the government people regarding areas that regulate your products or services. Like, for example, in the consumer product industry, the best place to start would be like with the Consumer Product Safety Commission and all the products that are regulated there. Now, on that aspect, I'm talking about importing goods. When you import goods into the United States, there's regulations, that kind of thing. Or if you're a food and drug manufacturer, you have to worry about the FDA as far as they're the entity that would regulate your products.
So it would be really important to figure out which area of government you really need to be in touch with.
Exactly.
Because it's not the same for every business.
That is exactly true. And sometimes, you know, in my 18 years of experience, you kind of learn by trial and error. And an example would be we imported alpine trees into the United States and their natural wood products. And APHIS, which is, I think, Animal Plant Health Inspection Service, was the government commission that regulated that. And I learned about that after the fact.
So what kind of problem happened?
Oh, well, at that time, they were worried about the long-horned Asian beetle coming into the United States through natural products from China. And so
I remember that, actually.
That was actually, you know, typical. Sometimes mistakes do happen, and you just have to mitigate that risk, like I keep talking about. But in that case, we had to recall all of the alpine trees that we had sold to the retailers and make sure that they got destroyed in an appropriate manner so that we wouldn't have the Asian longhorn beetle problem.
Are there special insurance requirements when you are doing business overseas?
Are you talking importing, exporting?
Yeah, I'm thinking importing, exporting, and I'm thinking particularly if you're bringing in a product that, you know, carries with it an environmental pest, would you be liable for that? And then should you have a higher level, a different level of insurance in order to do that?
Yeah, when you're talking about insurance issues, normally on an importing basis, the two types you're thinking about are, one, marine cargo insurance. So, like, when you're contracted with a freight forwarder and you want to make sure that your goods get in correctly, you buy insurance for that because there are losses when you're doing the freight forwarding part on the ocean carrier. And then the second thing is, normally the other insurance is when you're selling to the retailer. They always expect you to have usually a minimum of $2 million product liability insurance. So you carry product liability insurance so that if it goes to the retailer and there's a recall or a defective issue, you take care of those issues through the insurance.
So if I want to do business in another country, how do I know if it's a good market for me? And how do I qualify a company in another country, another part of the world, that I could believe they are reliable and a, you know, good partner for me?
It can be very difficult at times, but thank goodness for the internet and being able to do a lot of research. I think there's various ways to go about it. If you're talking about looking at new markets, if you're exporting a product or service, you can do a lot of research on the internet by what's already being exported to those countries and what those countries are looking for. There's another government agency that's with the state of Florida called Enterprise Florida, and they provide a lot of trade leads. You can get signed up for a newsletter, and you can kind of see from there what people are requesting to purchase from the United States, so you can get a feel for, you know, what's being popular in those markets.
Sure. Well, that sounds like a great resource, Enterprise Florida.
Yes.
So is it enterpriseflorida.com?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's eflorida.com. Okay. And it is a great resource that the state of Florida represents. If you're talking about importing, you know what the best thing to do is? If you're looking to find out how do I find a source for importing a material or a product, is a lot of times I used to just go into the retailers, turn over the bottom of the item that I was looking to import or a like item, and you could see where it was made. Where the most popular countries were that it was being made in, and kind of get a feel for, okay, toys really aren't made in the United States anymore. Most of them are coming from China. Maybe I need to look at sourcing this in China.
Well, that's a really good point on competitive research and knowing your competition and knowing the industry itself. I know in writing my book, Marketing Demystified, one of the first things that was a requirement for me to do before McGraw-Hill published it was to go to a bookstore and actually look at competitive titles and look at other books and see who else published them and how much they were, you know, priced at and how many copies were sold so that I would know whether that was a good book to write and McGraw-Hill would know whether they could make money doing it.
Exactly. Right. And then to answer your question, you asked about how do you qualify a company or a factory?
Big question.
It's a huge question. And you should put, before you even talk to someone, you should put a list of things that you need to know together. One of the things that's easy in the United States is when you're looking at the financial validity of a company, you can always pull up a D&B, they call it, a Dun & Bradstreet report on their financials. But it's really hard to do something like that overseas. So if I were looking on the importing side at factories, to source from, some of the things that I would think about is, you know, how big is the factory? What are their total revenues for the year? What's their production capacity? How many can they produce on a monthly basis? What are their lead times? What do they expect payment-wise? How many workers do they have? So there's a whole list of questions that I ask. And then most importantly is, you know, you said, well, some people may not be able to visit. I say to anybody, whether you're a small business or big business, go visit who you're selling to or who you're importing from, because it's like going into any store here in the United States. You can go into one store and you can tell it's really a well-run store just by walking in and seeing how clean it is, how organized, that kind of thing. When you go to factories overseas or when you go visit customers overseas and you visit their offices and their warehouse space and everything, you can tell what's going on. Are they producing right now? Are they, you know, are they not producing? Does that mean they're maybe going downhill financially? Are they investing in new machinery? Who are they selling to? Like, I used to go into the factories and I would see, oh, they're selling to other competitors of mine, so maybe I may not want to source from this company, or maybe they would be a good company to source from.
And that's a really good point. It makes me think back to the list of questions that you just asked, because not only would I be asking questions, but I would be looking at how does this align with my own business interests and my business vision and my business strategy. And you can take each of those questions that Beth Gitlin, adjunct professor at Florida Tech, and the president of Global Passages just asked, because you can take those same questions and turn them into criteria. So if you want to know how many employees do they have, well, how many employees do you think a company needs to have in order to meet the kind of business volume and manage the kind of business volume that you intend to do? So if you can take each of those questions and turn it into a piece of criteria that company has to match, then you have a way of vetting that company.
Totally. And one other thing I'd like to add to it is, in my experience, I've seen where small businesses have tried to source from really large factories, and they say, well, they're not answering my emails, they're not responding to me and stuff. And in my experience, I've seen if you're a medium-sized business, you should try to work with a medium-sized partner in the other country. If you're small, you should work with a small. If you're really large, you work with really large, and it it works out well that way. So you know, definitely have to align your businesses together.
Sure. There's an organization out there. It's a business coaching company called TAP, the Alternative Board, and they're across the country. And one of the things that they do that I think is so smart is exactly what you're talking about. When they create peer advisory boards, and they match like-size companies. So because your issues are similar, and you can learn from that, and you can help each other work through and sort out things with a reasonable expectation together,
sure.
You know, and a reasonable understanding of where you're all coming from. But I think that was a great point.
Thank you, Sue.
So let's talk a little bit about what do you think in today's local area? You're out there, you're teaching courses, you're teaching students on international business and business requirements.
Sure.
What are the kinds of questions that your students are asking you? What do you find that they want to do when they get out, and how is what you're teaching them there going to prepare them to do this type of work?
What kind of questions are they asking? Mostly they're just kind of putting feelers out there, and these are for the one small business seminars that I give for people that are interested in importing and exporting. And basically they're just like, well, how do I do this? And so some of the things we've talked about today is what I really discuss with them, and I give them a list of questions that they should ask themselves. You know, is this product or service regulated? Do I have intellectual property to protect? And so I give them a list of questions that I say, if you can answer all these questions and you can put a international business plan together, then you can get started. And it's not as hard as that you think it is. It's really a simple process as long as you know the right questions to ask.
So what would you recommend to someone who has intellectual property? So they've done a trademark search maybe in the U.S. Do they have to do a trademark search for every company that they want, every country that they want to do business in?
Yeah, if they do want to actually protect, if they have a patent already, then they have to patent the product in the countries that they want to do business in, and they should do that right up front and seek a legal advice on patent protection and trademark and copyright protection.
Let's talk a little bit about when you're in that other country, and the norms are a little different. We talked about this briefly with Tim Muth last week, and you know, he talked about how Chevy made the Nova, which means Nova,
yeah.
no go.
In
Spanish, so it wasn't such a good fit in some of the Hispanic markets. But talk a little bit about what are some of the things that people should really do. How does one go about understanding the norms, the way the business is done, the business culture variations from one country to the next?
That's a good question. I think a couple of personality traits that people really need to have in order to do international business is flexibility and openness to experience anything, and really be observant when they're in those countries. And I can't say enough, if I say one thing today, is if you're going to do business internationally, go visit who you're going to be working with. You definitely have to do face-to-face, because most countries will only do business with you. Most cultures from different countries will only do business with you that way. And just be observant and ask a lot of questions of them based on their tastes.
Sure. It brings to mind the issue that, there's so much focus on money, but there's really got to be a focus on relationship as the currency that you're dealing with. Because if you don't build a strong relationship with the partner at the other end, that partner is going to pick somebody else as a vendor or as a strategic partner who relates with them better.
Yeah.
And it's not just internationally, by the way. I mean,
think
about just the differences in segments of the United States and the way that, people approach the way that they do business every day. I deal with people from across the country, and I know that my friends in Texas are very different from my friends in New York.
I had just a quick funny story. One of my partners in China introduces me all the time saying, "This is Beth. She eats anything." And I used to I used to take offense to that, but it's when you're in China and they serve you Chinese food, they watch to see if you eat it, and if you are open to eating anything, you really can build relationships that way. So I'm proud of that comment today.
I'll have to remember that when I travel to China someday. But that's been great. Beth, we have about 2 minutes left to this show. What is the piece of parting wisdom that you would like to leave our listeners with when they're thinking about what they can do to move their business forward, and particularly in an international or multinational market?
Well, first of all, for anybody that's listening, please think that you can do anything globally nowadays. You don't have to start in a domestic market. And there are products and services that may do better globally than domestically. So pay attention to, you know, the BRIC countries and the countries that are developing that need some of your services and products that we can offer here in the U.S.
We're at WMEL AM 1300, your Talk to Me station. And we are wrapping up a segment on global business with Beck Gitlin, president and owner of Global Passages, former U.S. Army lieutenant, and an adjunct professor at Florida Institute of Technology, Nathan M. Biss College of Business. Thanks, Beth, for being with us today. We're grateful for the information you shared. How can people get in touch with you quickly?
They can get in touch with me at bgitlin@globalpassages.net, 321-266-7340. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome, Donna Anselmo at Bold Talk Business Radio. Come back August 4th for another segment on global business.
Sunny this afternoon with a high of 92. The heat index will make it feel like 102. Chance of rain 50%. Tonight partly cloudy with a low of 70.